Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guests. And today we have with us with the Reverend Philip Foster, who is a vicar from Cambridge in England. And we're going to be talking about the European Union. What's happening to the Christian faith in England, what's happening to the Christian faith in Europe, this effort to move away from national sovereignty to, of course, bringing all of the countries under Europe under a common rule with a common currency and common laws, and, of course, the end of Great Britain, as it's been known. Would I call you Reverend or would I call you Vicar?
Probably better to call me Philip.
All right, fine.
I don't stand too much on ceremony.
All right, fine. Well, Philip, of course, you are a minister there, the gospel over there. And, of course, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's happening and why you're concerned? After all, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just not have any wars anymore and everybody could live happily forever after?
Well, wouldn't it? But I think, as your introduction reminded us, that reality and fantasy are rather different things. Jesus did tell us that to expect wars and rumours of wars, not the opposite, I'm afraid. Perhaps it'd be wise for me to introduce myself as what it means to be a vicar in the Church of England. I don't know how many of your listeners out there quite know how that works. Would that be worthwhile doing?
Go right ahead, because most people really don't understand.
Yes. For the benefit of our American brethren and sisters, in England, one of the churches is called the Church of England, which is a national or state church. This has many disadvantages and just the odd advantage. That is why I still remain within this church, even though I am an evangelical minister. And I believe what the Bible says, because the Church of England was founded on the Reformation principles, but unfortunately, as so often happens, has gone very much astray since then. But nonetheless, it is at least founded on gospel principle. As a vicar, and this is relevant to what we're going to be talking about, because it is a state church, when I become a minister, I am required to take an oath to Her Majesty the Queen as the ruler of this country. And part of the articles of the Church of England, and I'm going to read these direct, state the following: that the Queen's Majesty has the chief power in this realm of England and her other dominions, to whom the chief government of all estates of this realm, whether they be ecclesiastical, that's church, or civil, in all causes doth appertain, and is not, nor ought to be, subject to any foreign jurisdiction. Now, that's a statement of one of the 39 articles of the Church of England. It's at the tail end of it, stating that the Queen, under God, is sovereign in Parliament, as we would say now. And so when I take an oath to the Queen, I am taking oath to the person who is supposed to rule this country, at least through Parliament. In 1997, and this is where this thing gets interesting, Britain signed up to what was called the Maastricht Treaty, connected with the European Union. We've signed several treaties, but this one was forced through Parliament by the then Prime Minister, John Major. And he stated, having forced it through, to his delight, that everyone was now a citizen of the European Union, including Her Majesty the Queen. Now, this made me alarmed.
Now, we're going to ask you just to hold that thought here for just a moment. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. With us today is the Reverend Philip Foster, who is a vicar in Canterbury and Cambridge in England. a vicar in Cambridge in England, and of course we're talking about the European Union. And he has just been mentioning that as a vicar of the church, he was required to sign a oath of fidelity to the Queen of England. And yet, of course, when they established the relationship with the European Union, John Major, the Prime Minister who succeeded Margaret Thatcher, announced now that every citizen of England was a citizen of the European Union, including the Queen. So would you like to pick up the story from there?
Yes, indeed. Thank you. And I became personally alarmed by this because it meant that my oath had now run beyond the Queen to a power that I had no control over at all, namely that which resides in Brussels, that is the European Union Centre. I inquired of our legal authorities in our own church about this matter. I said, where does my oath run to? And they said, oh, well, actually, we don't know. And then they approached the Queen, or at least her officials, at Buckingham Palace, to ask her. They, that is Buckingham Palace, according to these legal people, said they went to Brussels to find out. Now that statement is very alarming because it means that the Queen herself sees herself as a vassal to Brussels rather than someone in her own right. If my oath now runs to Brussels, I'm in trouble. So that's the first thing I wanted to say, that not only my oath, but this would apply to the oath of all the armed forces in Britain and the police, who also take similar oaths of allegiance.
But of course, do those oaths really hold when they've changed the rules of that? In other words, this was done unilaterally by a small group of what I believe very wicked men, represented by John Majors and others, whose loyalty is not to Great Britain, they're sworn loyalty to, but this internationalist dream of first establishing a European Union and then establishing a new world order and a new world religion. So how can you be bound by an oath when somebody changes the oath? It's like being asked to follow a law and then they change the law and suddenly you're required to go with this new law. That certainly it would not be right.
I agree, and in a sense it is quite alarming. Perhaps it puts me in mind of the fact that Jesus did say perhaps we shouldn't swear oaths in the first place, but that's another story.
We'll hold that thought for just a moment as our stations return. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Philip Foster, who is the vicar of Cambridge. And of course we're talking about the fact that he had sworn an oath as part of his Anglican responsibility as an Anglican vicar to the Queen of England, and suddenly why the Queen of England has sworn an oath to Europe. And of course when they inquired of the Queen why, she said, or her official said, well, we'll have to go to Brussels to find out. So really the Queen is really not in charge anymore. It's a supranational authority, and the average Englishman has no idea what's happening any more than I think the average Belgian, the average citizen of Germany or France understands that there really are powerful forces there who are not interested in democracy. They're interested in power, and this is what it's really all about. That and the world dream of bringing about this new world order. And for those of you in the listening audience who've never seen that picture that is used throughout Europe to talk about the European Union, it shows the incomplete Tower of Babel surrounded, I think, by a dozen stars, occult stars, a point down, and of course this is a typical occult organization. The background of Babylon was in occultism, and the people who are doing this and are building the new European Union understand that there is an occult foundation to this idea, first of all, of uniting Europe, and then uniting the world. Would you pick up from there?
Yes, indeed. And I think that's a very helpful summary of the situation. As I said, my own sort of personal experience about 1997 was when, as it were, I woke up to what was going on vis-à-vis the European Union and Britain. And this was a particularly poignant, this issue of the oath was a poignant reminder of just how far things had gone. Things, of course, have moved on a good deal since then. Britain has lost sovereignty in all sorts of real areas, and this is again an area that many people in Britain don't understand, or are only beginning to understand, as European law now overrides British law, and indeed something like 70% of what goes through our Parliament is rules or directives from Brussels, that is the centre of European power, and they are passed through by what is known as enabling acts, which is a pretty alarming statement, because those of you who may remember the rise to power of Hitler will know that one of the first things he did when he took power was to pass the enabling act.
But it was all done under the guise of democracy. It was all done under the guise of legality.
Right.
But, of course, there were powerful occult forces behind Adolf Hitler, just as I believe there are powerful occult forces behind what is going on in Europe today.
Yes, indeed, and this I would agree with. And your the picture of Babel and the stars around it is a case in point. The other symbols they often use are the woman riding the beast, which has been on stamps to celebrate the European Union, which is mentioned in Revelation, but is also Europa and the bull, the two together. And they are obsessed with what I call upside-down religious motives, which again suggests that someone other than just human beings are behind this. And obviously the reversal of Babel being a case in point. Just thinking also of who's in power, as I said, that most of the laws that now pass into our British law are from Europe, and we cannot control them. They're seeking to change our system of justice, which is not unlike that that operates in America. We have a jury system. We have a system that says we are innocent until proved guilty, and that a person may not be arrested and kept out of sight. That is illegal. The old name for this was habeas corpus, whereby you had to be presented before a magistrate and explain why you had been arrested and what the charges were. This is to be overridden eventually by corpus juris, which is the European system of law, Code Napoleon. In nearly all the countries on the continent, you are effectively guilty unless you can prove your innocence. Once you're arrested, you're in real trouble. Both your judge and your prosecutor are effectively the same department, and that makes life very difficult to defend yourself, because you are basically facing inquisitorial justice, as we call it, rather than what we have in Britain and America, which is adversarial justice, where you have a prosecutor and a defender, and the judge is to see fair play, in effect, and a jury is to make the decision, not the judge, not the prosecutor, not the defender.
Well, now, in the European system, do you have a jury, or do you just have the judge?
There are juries of a rather weak kind in some countries, but on the whole, juries are not what they are in America and what they have been in Britain. I remember, is it 12 Angry Men, a very effective film about the value of the jury system. So those are being overwritten and overridden by corpus juris. It's being done slowly, as always. And I don't know whether you have magistrates in America.
We have judges. I don't think, not really magistrates as
such. Which are not jury courts, but they're to deal with what we call minor offences. And you come up before the magistrate, who basically deals with, can deal with minor offences.
I think we have some sort of a
something
system
like that.
Right.
Whereby, for the most part, these magistrates are what we call citizens of good standing, who are, in effect, voluntary. They're not necessarily fully trained in law. Their job is, again, rather like a jury on a one-man basis, is to apply common sense to the law. These are being progressively done away with and replaced with professional, in inverted commas, magistrates, who again are simply part of the system and not people who are prepared to stand up when something is clearly unjust.
Well, now, is the average individual in England even aware that things are changing and changing very rapidly, and that the guarantees that he has had under traditional English law will soon become simply a remembrance of things past?
It's very difficult to make a generalized statement, of course, because individuals are different, but I think some people are waking up, but one fears it may be too late, the old problem of waking up too late. People are discovering just how unpleasant the laws from Brussels are as they start to bite into daily life, from all sorts of sort of practical things that you suddenly find you can't do anymore because it's forbidden by Brussels. It's sort of difficult to sort of think of something straight away offhand. But
how about spanking children?
Well, for example, yes, that so-called human rights, which Britain has never needed because we have a Bill of Rights and citizens are free citizens. We don't have a system whereby you may do, you know, have a statement of what you may do. The British system operates on the fact that a person may do as he chooses unless it is contrary to the law, which is a much more straightforward way of dealing with things, whereas Brussels loves to itemize everything. And if it isn't in the Book of Rules, you can't do it, which is absurd. And the case in point is spanking, which increasingly from Europe is being pressurized against us, that we should not allow it at all. It's being done on a slippery slope, but, you know, if a parent... It's increasingly likely that if a parent is seen striking a child, they'll probably end up for some form of judgment.
How about the environmental laws? Certainly this is the thing that is being imposed on America through these sustainable development and Agenda 21 programs, where step by step the rights of private property are being taken away, and using the threat of endangered species or endangered ferns or endangered fish or something like that, why they take away property rights and they regulate and regiment the individual. Is this taking place in England?
Yes, it is, and probably in a greater extent than it is in the States. Partly because we're a bit more crowded, in inverted commas. And the effect of these environmental laws is considerable. I was going to sort of instance the fact that if you want to buy a new refrigerator, you can't get rid of your old one. There's nowhere to take it. Because you're not allowed to just take it to the tip, because, oh, they have to take the stuff out in a special way, and they haven't got the machines to do this anyway. And they're all made by the Germans, bless them. And they're going to sell them to us at great cost. The whole business of rubbish disposal has become absurd.
Well, what they do is they just complicate life for the individual, but the individual, of course, wanting to be a law-abiding citizen, goes along with this, and step by step, why all freedom is removed. And this is really what the plan is. But you don't want the people to realize what it's all about. You want them to think that, well, this is the normal progression, and of course, all they have to do maybe is elect different types of legislators, and things will be different, elect different people to Parliament. Now, I understand...
That's not though, done.
Well,
in a sense, that cannot be effectively done at the moment. Neither of the main parties, which I cautiously say are somewhat akin to what you have in America, Tory and Labour.
We call them Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah, whatever, call them what you will. Neither of them, what they are now doing is talking to the electorate about what has become the jargon is schools and hospitals. This is the thing that everybody gets excited about. And they all say the same thing, because they can't talk about the big picture, because they're both in agreement not to rock the boat as far as the European Union is concerned. The Conservative gentleman has sworn effectively on radio and everywhere he would never withdraw from the European Union, and the Labour Party is heading there as fast as it can in that direction anyway. So both are totally agreed about that.
Well,
so it doesn't matter who you vote for.
Now, I understand there is a third party that you're affiliated with that actually has become the third largest party in Great Britain.
In effect, it has. The UKIP, the United Kingdom Independence Party, which scored, in a slightly sort of ironical way, extremely successfully in the European elections, which are a charade at the best of times anyway. But by effectively being a protest vote, they became, as you say, the third biggest party. Unfortunately, one must be realistic here, they are very unlikely to be so successful in a general election in Britain by the nature of the beast, I'm afraid. But nonetheless, it has shaken certainly the Conservatives. And we do wait and see what might happen there, but I'm not very optimistic. But there are not only the UKIP, but there's the Campaign for an Independent Britain. There's a number of groups vigorously seeking to get the information out to the people.
Well, we're going to have to just take a break here. And when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America or out across the world, for that matter, because this the program does go out the world at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and with us on the line is the Reverend Philip Foster, who is the vicar in Cambridge, England. And we're talking about what's really happening in England. The fact you have two political parties over there, very similar to what we have here. Both of them are dedicated to this one-world government. And, of course, just here in the United States, that's exactly what's going on. That's what globalization is all about. The transfer of our jobs, our industries, our wealth to other nations as they move to impoverish our people, because they want equality in the world, at least for us common folks, and this is how you're going to impoverish the middle class of America. And when that happens, why, they will of course not object as we move away from sovereignty towards this feudalistic system that the feudal lords wish to impose upon us. And as incredible as it seems, this is happening not just in the United States, it's happening throughout the world. But, of course, America is the major engine of industry today. But that's all going to change. It's changing as part of a fantastic plan. And I was just reading where India is going to be exporting over 200,000 cars this year. Next year, 500,000 cars. And soon you'll see those Indian cars right here on the streets of America. You may not see very many GMC or Ford cars, but you'll be seeing the Chinese and the Indian cars as we move from sovereignty towards the one world order, this new corporate society. Well, Philip, as you see what's going on today, and of course, is there any way you have of reaching the British people, or are they just so to the point where they just don't care? All they want to do is go to the pub and enjoy the television.
Well, I think it's dangerous to overgeneralize. If I could just come back on what you were saying about the shipping out of industries and so forth, the same has been happening fairly rapidly in Britain. Britain was once known as one of the great fishing nations, and we fished the oceans with considerable success. There is now no fishing, of hardly any kind of fishing left in Britain now. It's all moved to Spain. The same is happening with our agriculture. The aim has been that British livestock agriculture should cease and that in effect it should be shipped out to Poland and other new entries into the European Union as their contribution, so-called, to the good of all. And we've had two major outbreaks of so-called illness, foot and mouth and BSE, which have slaughtered millions and millions of our sheep and cattle.
You know, that never made any sense to me, because hoof and mouth disease, all they had to do was vaccinate them.
Yep.
And they didn't do that, instead they just slaughtered
them. No, it was
forbidden
by Brussels.
And, of course, what you have to see is they didn't want a solution. They wanted the problem so that they could slaughter the cattle, impoverish the British owners, and then of course, create this new organized society where who's going to be producing your meat now? Is it going to
this would be the interesting thing, you see. It'll be shifted around to another part. Incidentally, with respect to the foot and mouth, I can tell your listeners something I did find out, that... In fact, the British Broadcasting Corporation revealed it without meaning to. I say that deliberately, because the British Broadcasting Corporation, the so-called impartial news service, is entirely in hock to Brussels. It receives considerable supplements from Brussels to the tunes of millions of British pounds. I suppose they're euros, but they get money to be pro-Europe. However, when the foot and mouth broke out, they had a phone call into one of their programs saying that the gentleman was a timber merchant, and he was rung up by the Ministry of Agriculture 3 months before the outbreak was notified, saying, did he have large quantities of timber for burning? And when the BBC heard this, to be honest, they were silenced, because the implication was obvious.
In other words,
the Ministry of Agriculture knew already there was going to be an outbreak.
One of those spontaneous planned outbreaks.
Yes, because they'd already planned. And then there was a sort of 24 hours of kerfuffle from the Ministry of Agriculture, who said, oh no, well, we just have, we always check, we have contingency plans,
right,
et cetera, et cetera, you know, and we always just like to be sure, and we're always checking that this might be the case. When followed up, the man said that neither he nor his father, who'd run the timber merchants before that, had ever been rung up requesting timber. It's the first time it's ever happened. So clearly, you know, it was a planned event. The difficulty, I mean, in fact, I had this checked out, and I was staying in a hotel at the Welsh borders and talked to somebody there, and the host and hostess, she was Belgian, and she was alarmed as anyone by the European Union, I might add. I have many tales to tell of the Brussels apparatchiks.
Well, I fear
them. But they too knew a timber merchant who had also at that time been rung up with the same basic fact that he'd never been rung up before.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here.
Surely?
We have Jeannie and Ben on the line calling in. So we'll ask them both to hang on, and we'll be back here in just a moment as we explore more of this incredible, incredible story. Of course, what's happening in England mirrors exactly what's happening in America.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Era to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Philip Foster, who is the vicar in Cambridge, England. We have Jeannie Soderman calling in. And, of course, Jeannie has been traveled throughout the world researching the sustainable development movement. This whole movement aimed at bringing not only the people of the United States, but the whole world under this control of a ruling elite. Jeannie, did you have a question for the vicar?
Well, yes, I have one question, but you brought up killing of the sheep, and I would like to mention that out of the United Nations documents, the Biodiversity Assessment Report, which was a scientific peer review report on the biodiversity of the world, they did say that what was unsustainable was any animal that had hoofs like sheep and goats and cattle, because the reason was because the hoofs would compact the earth and hurt the skin of Mother Gaia, of the earth goddess. And that came out of the United Nations documents.
So was that the Global Biodiversity Assessment?
Yes.
And for a person out there who's listening, we do have that summarized. In fact, we have Jeannie Soderman's summary of that in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. If you haven't read it, you need to. The document itself is 1,142 pages, but Jeannie has it down to about 40. And you need to understand, these are people who if we were to meet them in public, would think they were crazy. It's not that they're crazy. They know exactly what they're doing. They have a different worldview. They want to control you. They want to control everything. So what else, Jeannie? Do you have a question for the vicar?
Yes, I do. I was in Central America about a year ago, and I was in a bank. And there was a couple that were white-skinned, and they had a British accent. And, of course, I was the only other one that had white skin. And the gentleman came up to me, and we started talking only a few moments. And he said to me, he said, "I don't understand why Americans have such an obsession with freedom." And I just kind of was taken back. And my reply, of course, being from New England, I'm very quick and very direct. And I said, "Well, that's right. You're a subject, and I'm a sovereign citizen." So my question is this the typical attitude of the people in England?
All right. Again, it's difficult to generalize. I must admit, I'm pretty shocked by what that person said myself. It is true that we are technically subjects, but it's perhaps a bit more complicated than that. But nonetheless, I find his denial of the need for freedom something that's very frightening. I think it's fair to say that the Americans do guard or seek to guard their freedom with a bit more vim than perhaps the British, who tend to sit back and think, "Oh, we've got it, haven't we?" And that's, of course, playing straight into the hands of what we're talking about.
Well,
we have freedom, and then we wake up to find we haven't.
Needless to say, our conversation stopped then. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Gene.
All right.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Ben now. Ben, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I have two brief points I'd like to make. First of all, what happens when the European Union meets the New World Order? Are they two tentacles of the same animal?
All right,
it's a nice question. Oh, are we going to answer it, or do you want me to...
I want you to answer that, please.
I think we're going to have a two-level event here. Because at the moment, what is happening with the European Union is that it sees itself, or many of them see themselves, as setting themselves up against the United States. You may not perhaps fully appreciate that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. In a sense, this is the sort of first stage. Mm-hmm. One thinks of, Orwell's, 1984, with the three continents constantly at war with each other, or supposed to be.
Sure.
They're wanting to put up this European army, which is one of the reasons why my oath issue is so significant, because it means that British soldiers will just be fighting under the European banner.
Yeah, and also Prozac in the water will dumb down the people to where they will not have the will to react. Is that the Prozac? And is there Prozac in the water in America yet?
No, but they have fluoride, and the active ingredient in fluoride is Prozac. But
a secondary issue as well. What I'm getting at is that I think initially what we may find is that the European Union will see itself as a rival to America.
Absolutely.
But behind the scenes, this is all part of the ploy, as it were. That's what the sort of middle management think they're doing.
Okay, now...
There's one step behind that. There is the New World Order that's going to be ushered in. Possibly, and I say this cautiously, and I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, possibly through the actual collapse of the current European Union.
Which leads me to my next question.
Yes.
Does the New World Order, whether these two tentacles meet and try to become the one animal, do the thinking people of the world, and please listen to me, all good, loyal Christian Americans, do the thinking people of the world think that Russia and China are going to bow at the altar of the New World Order? Because even though they're trying to, they know that when you control the air, food, and water of a given population, and you add to that the banking systems, okay, that's the game we're being shown, and those of us that are informed, we know what's going on. What happens when Russia and China get so fed up? The Chinese are already trying to land on the moon. Let's say they put a military base on the moon. All then right. What? Then we're looking at Armageddon?
Okay, well, let's get the Vicar's thoughts on that.
Well, like all these possible scenarios, ultimately... I believe what the Bible says, that the kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
Second Psalm, you're absolutely right.
Psalm 2. I think that is ultimately what's going to happen. But as it's a nice point that Ben has raised as to how these sort of juggernauts are going to, as it were, coalesce, or are they going to coalesce, or are they going to kick for their own not particularly good reasons. I think... It's either tomorrow or the next day, or having Vladimir Bukovsky?
Yes, I am. I think it's...
He might be able to deal with some of the things that Ben are raising about the Russia, because he himself is from Russia, and he has a perspective on the European Union, which is simply that there isn't much difference between that and the USSR.
I think what...
However, that's sort of his... That's something I think he could be pressed on.
Well, I think where we get into problems is we look at things and we think we understand them. Hmm. Who would ever expect that Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia and the former head of the Soviet KGB, would be working closely with Maurice Strong, a multi-billionaire, and, of course, Stephen Rockefeller, a multi-billionaire, and writing the Earth Charter, this new plan for world government. So I think that probably most people in the hierarchy of Russia have one agenda, but there may well be another agenda that the people really in charge have.
I think
you're absolutely right. I think that many people in the European Union think they're in competition with the United States, but the ultimate plan, I think, was laid out long ago, and that is to, when the three major blocks have been consolidated, and that would be Europe, the Western Hemisphere, and Asia, maybe Africa as well, who knows, but then, of course, they will unite all of them together into this new world order and the new world religion.
Well, yes, which brings me to something. I don't know if now is the point to raise something about that.
Go ahead.
Sort of back to the European Union issue here, but in connection with religion. As I already said, it's got its own religious inverted symbolism. But, and here I would want to bend the ear of the American public, if I may, as a Christian minister. From England has come, usually the other way around, but from England has come a so-called new, exciting way of evangelism, and it's called the Alpha Course. And it came from a church in London, which was originally heavily involved in the so-called Toronto events, and from this was spawned the Alpha Course, which supposedly makes people into Christians. That's a different issue. However, they are literally hand in glove with the European Union's hierarchy. I have from their own propaganda a big page spread about a huge rally that they were part of at Stuttgart, 10,000 people attending, and it's headlined on Europe Stage. Nikki Gumbel, who runs the Alpha courses almost worldwide, Nikki Gumbel joins Romano Prodi. Now, for the benefit of Americans, Romano Prodi is the president of the European Commission. The Queen of Belgium, who's a well-known Catholic, and 55 Catholic bishops at a conference in Stuttgart. And there they all extol the wonders of Together for Europe, was the theme, and how they were going to transform Europe with their so-called evangelism. Well, it isn't a godly evangelism, I'm afraid. It's not the gospel. They have adapted the gospel to people's, quote, feelings, changed it so that people can accept it without having to worry too much about sin. A case in point is that they have recently started to drop any reference to homosexuality in their course as being something that God hates. That has now been airbrushed out of their courses because it offends people. That's the sort of level you've got. So can I warn America, do not get involved with the Alpha Course.
Well,
it's already a very dangerous course.
It is already here, and of course it's spreading so much.
Yep.
As today is getting into experiential Christianity.
You want
to experience it. You don't want to study the scriptures and the
idea
of
Prozac.
Right. Well, let's go. We've got several people here. Let's go quickly to Fred and Salinas. Fred, do you have a question?
Yes, I have just a couple things I want to say. I was listening to Mrs. Kerry on an interview and found out that John Kerry and her met and got to know each other down in Rio in 91 at the Biodiversity Treaty in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay, that has to do with the sustainable development we were talking about in the Global Biodiversity Assessment that Jeannie was talking about, okay? But I have a question for the vicar because we've got a couple of other calls.
I just wanted to say one other thing, that President Bush just nominated Peter Goss to head the CIA today, and he's a 1961 graduate of Yale, And it sounds like he's a skull and bones.
Well, we'll have to look him on the membership list. We do, fortunately, offer the membership list here at Radio Liberty. Anything else, Fred?
That's all.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Larry calling from New York. Hi, Larry. What part of New York are you in?
I'm up around Rochester. I'm from Lima, New York.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question for the vicar?
Yes, I do. With all this indoctrination into the European Union, what effect is it having on the educational system, for instance, the teaching of history? And we're being trashed by our own government through the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and everything else. And I'm wondering what the European Union could do to England in that kind of a scenario.
It's considerable. Since about 1970, the teaching of history in schools underwent a radical change. No longer was history taught in the what I call the conventional manner of learning what happened. And indeed many of the current generation know very little history at all. They will spend huge amounts of school time doing things like medicine through the ages, but they will not deal with the real issues such as the Reformation or whatever it may be. These things are now being again gently airbrushed or neutralized so that they don't really learn the past.
And, of course, you can't really understand the past unless you understand the influence of religion throughout history.
And, you know, for good or ill, but the point, you know, remains that they're not being taught history at all. It's this sort of sociological caper that they have instead. And, yes, the European Union is very pushy in this regard. I have literally in front of me something that was nearly handed out to all the school children in Britain, but for reasons that became reasonably obvious, it never was, but was handed out to nearly all the school children in the European Union. It wasn't a piece of history exactly, but it's a piece of propaganda. It's a highly glossy colour comic of, I don't know whether Asterix means anything to people in America. Asterix comics. Very glossy colour comics, anyway. Well produced, well, you know, well printed. And the theme of this is about two jolly teenagers who, in a fantasy, find themselves in a strange country where there are frontiers and things like this. And the way the comic puts it across is that people who live in a country with frontiers are all pictured as stupid, greedy, dirty, and unpleasant. And these young teenagers, who are, of course, from the European Union that has no borders, has no this and all the rest of it, come and show them and put them right and all the rest of it. But the subtlety of it is that it's just like the way Goebbels dealt with the Jews. He, first of all, would say, here's a Jew, here's a lunatic, and then he'd blend them on the screen. And that's precisely the sort of technique that's being used here in this comic. And as I said, nearly every school child in the European Union, with the exception of Britain, because I think somebody must have read it and thought, we cannot put this out. But it's all stamped all over with the European Union's official wonders and how glorious it is. It's a sickening piece of propaganda. When I wrote to the Gauleiter of the EU in Britain, who was an Irishman called Geoffrey Martin, no disrespect to other Irishmen listening, I hasten to add, and pointed out to him what an awful piece of propaganda this was. And he wrote back promptly a very abusive letter, basically saying, where are we? I must say your remarks about its content seem to me to verge on the ludicrous, which when you see the comic you know they were not. I have taken the opportunity, because of the unusual nature of your comments, to copy the letter and this reply to your bishop. And I sincerely believe that the strength of your emotions seem to be in danger of clouding your judgment. Yours sincerely, Geoffrey Martin, Gauleiter, European Union. Well, nothing came of that, I hasten to add, but it's interesting that my job was threatened by the Gauleiter of the European Union here in Britain.
Well, I think that, you know, they will go after anybody who is effective. Here in the United States, we still at least have the ability to speak out, at least many of us do, although I'm sure if you work for the government today and you speak out and you try to tell the truth, why, of course, it may not only be your job that's in danger.
That's true.
And so what we have to understand that we have propaganda on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean being used to push us towards a new world order and a new world religion. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to ask there, Larry?
Yeah, just that we cannot be intimidated, and we know what happens when the foundation crumbles.
And the foundation is in the process of crumbling. And your job, Larry, is to get people up there in New York, in the upstate New York, listening and try to get them educated and try to get them the material that they can get out to others. Because we have the greatest opportunity of all time right now to reach people. We'll never have another opportunity like we have today.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for your guests. I really appreciate it.
Well, I think we're going to have, we'll want to tune in on Thursday when we're going to have another fascinating guest. Okay? Okay. Well, we've just got a moment or so. Would you like to get your website out in case anybody would like to get in touch with you?
Yes. I have to say I should be away for a couple of weeks. So if anybody writes, don't be too panic-stricken if nothing comes back for a fortnight. It's got a website, but if you email me on pf.smp@dial.pipex.com, I've given it to the station before, so it'll probably be on your website, won't it?
That's smp@dial.pipex.com. Okay, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Right.
And we're going to have to let you go.
Right out. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam or Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened to TWA 800 on the route off the eastern coast a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts, entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book in the world that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and let me just mention several of the things that we have which are so important that you get, and one of them is my Sustainable Development Syllabus, because it will go into the background of this whole movement towards world government, and of course you'll see there that you'll understand why they wanted to kill all those cows. Millions of cows and sheep were slaughtered in England for no reason at all. Oh, we've got hoof and mouth disease. Well, just give them a vaccination. There's no problem. Oh, no, we can't do that, of course. And my goodness. And they had all the explanations. It was all part of this plan to shift the agricultural and meat production to other countries and to impoverish the people of Great Britain. You think they would do it here? Of course they're going to do it here. It's just a matter of time. Everything is being managed and staged, and they're lying to the people of England. They're lying to the people of America. We are going to come up with some new programs to cut off all subsidies to our farmers, and I'm not saying it by necessary. I believe in those subsidies, but we're going to really destroy the farms within the next couple of years, and this is all going to be to shift the agriculture to the underdeveloped countries, to shift the wealth from America to other countries. They say, well, what about the food shortages? They're going to create food shortages because they believe there are too many people in the world. If you read our Sustainable Development Syllabus, you'll find my Population Control Agenda monograph, where you'll read and document the fact they've really intended to kill off most of the people in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, they're not talking about the people necessarily only in Africa. They're talking about people right here in America and throughout the world. We've already lost over 500,000 people to AIDS, a totally unnecessary epidemic. You need to get my book by that title, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. You need to get Sustainable Development Syllabus, the 4-tape set, and the video on sustainable development. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I do hope you've enjoyed our our interview with Philip Foster, and we're going to be having another great interview coming up this Thursday. And these people are totally dedicated to trying to warn the American people what's happening, because we're in this together. We have a common heritage. We have a common faith. The only trouble is they've wiped out Christianity in England, and they're in the process of wiping it out here in the United States with the church growth movement. That's what it's all about, to bring the devil's music into our churches. And if you doubt this is the devil's music, you need to get the video. They sold their souls for rock and roll, either the 10-hour version or the 4-hour version, the short version. You need to get the book, Fallen Angel. You need to get our 4-tape set on musical madness. You need to get our video. Pardon me. You need to get our book on the crisis in Christian music. You need to get the information available from Radio Liberty that will help you to understand what is happening to the Christian church. They've destroyed Christianity in Europe and certainly in England, and they're in the process of doing it here today. And it's being done so subtly. We're just here to make Christianity more meaningful, and that's why we want to play the devil's music in our churches, because that's how we get the children in. Well, how are we going to get them off of rock music? And if you understand it is the devil's music, then you will understand. And this all has to do with a man named Aleister Crowley. You need to get our 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley, and you need to get the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. I will tell you it would have a profound impact on you. And if you have children or grandchildren who are into rock and roll music, every one of them needs to see that, and you need to make sure that they do, and you watch it with them. But the 4-hour version, the 10-hour version, and you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. You need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, because it goes into the spiritual battle that is taking place today. Last hour we had, of course, with this Ted Flynn, and I believe his book, The Hope of the Wicked, is a good supplement to my book. It's much larger than my book. My book's easy to read. His is twice the size and probably 3 times the size, but all sorts of great and important information tying together this spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of men. And you're going to have to be on one side or the other, because believe me, in this battle, there is no neutral ground. Another book which I think is so important, a book that changed my life some 40 years ago, is called Foundations, Their Power and Their Influence. That's Foundations, Their Power and Their Influence. It was written by the counsel, the lawyer for the Reese Committee that investigated the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford back in the 1950s. And of course, you'll want to get with that my interview with Norman Dodd, who is the director of research for the Reese Committee that investigated the foundations. So you can get the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and my interview with Norman Dodd, who's gone to be with the Lord, but his message rings out loud and clear today. There are people of great wealth who, in America, who are pushing communism and socialism. They don't believe in communism and socialism. They believe in power, because that's what communism is. Communism is a power structure with a ruling oligarchy that rules the masses. That's what's in China today. You can go ahead, you can have a car, you can have a house, but of course you don't speak out against the government. Of course, this is what happened in Russia. They had a ruling oligarchy, and that's why Gorbachev, who is the former dictator of Russia, can work so closely with multi-billionaires and capitalists here in the United States, like Maurice Strong and Stephen Rockefeller. Behind all of this are the spiritual forces which energize all of these people. Because what most people do not understand is that Mikhail Gorbachev is deeply involved in the occult, and you only need to go to his meetings, his State of the World Forum meetings, where the leaders of the world gather with the former dictator of Russia to plan your future. So, of course, you'll learn a lot more about it by getting our Sustainable Development Syllabus, by reading our newsletters, by going to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Remember our number again, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.